All right, this hour, of course, with Michael Goddard, we are going to take your phone calls as we talk about his work in search of lost lives. He's got another book called Spiritual Revolution as well. His website linked up at coasttocoastam.com. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you along with Michael Goddard. Michael, what would you say is the most profound thing you've learned from all this?
From recovering my past lives?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's just that the first thing would be my spiritual evolution has occurred over thousands of lives, and it's a long road back, but I'm on my way back to my source, so I feel very confident about that. And the other thing is that we can make true spiritual progress, and what we see is not real. I mean, there is so much existence out there which you can access if you're able to travel within and with the mind and soul. So we're living in an illusion, basically. People are so wedded to things of the world, and they take them to be real. But it's all changing. It's all going away. I've been through, you know, as I said, over 4,000 lives. I've seen a lot of life. And to really attain lasting, permanent happiness, you have to go back to God. That's kind of the point.
Absolutely. The subtitle of your book includes a word called sanskaras. What are they?
Sanskaras are impressions from past lives. I mentioned a few at the beginning of the show. They're kind of inexplicable talents and affinities and feelings you have that can't be explained otherwise. They can't be explained through your family, your genealogy. They're kind of leftover impressions from past lives. And in my book, In Search of Lost Lives, I identify a lot that I didn't know what they were. And then when I unpack a past life, I link them to the particular past life of how this carried through and what it meant.
Do you particularly meditate, or what kind of state of mind do you get into in order to pick up some of these past lives?
Well, I do meditate every day on the sound current. But as I mentioned, a few years ago, it's sort of like everything came together. I'd actually been doing different types of preparation for this work. So basically, I'm able to access my higher consciousness is what it is. It's sort of like the walls of knowing have been pulverized. So I'm able to access information from lives I've experienced. Like, I wouldn't be able to give you details about your past lives, but if I had known you, I would be able to tell you things. So it's really my higher consciousness. I'm in a slightly advanced state, elevated state, but I'm aware, and I meditate in between to get the information.
Would mainstream religions agree with you about all this?
Well, if the mainstream religions went to the root of their religion, the source of them, I believe, you know, all religions originally, you know, are saying the same thing, is that God is love and love is God, and we can go back to God. So, I mean, religion comes from the Latin religare, which means to bind back or return to God. So the real message of the saints has been lost, and these organized religions have been formed in their wake. Sons of God, or whatever you want to call them, perfect saints, don't come to start religions and make a few people wealthy, or they come to collect the souls that they're here to initiate on the Shabbat, which we talked about in the last segment.
Collecting souls, and what do they do with them?
Well, they take them back through the seven heavens to the Father, the Supreme Being.
Do they recycle them?
Well, call the negative power is our kind of grand recycler, you know, shooting us back into life after life. I kind of like to call him the ultimate reality show producer. Tom would get maybe a good laugh about that. No, he's the recycler. God is basically worshiping himself through us. I mean, even people who are sincere in following the religion and worshiping God, they're contacting God. I mean, God has omniscience, omnipotence. But, you know, we have a creation. Eventually, the creation will be rolled back, and what I said was a dissolution.
I've always believed that reincarnation, Michael, was reaching perfection or that heavenly state, and that you would keep coming back as you got better and better and better.
Well, you could. I mean, I think a number of mind and soul entities have like a mission. You know, like when the country was founded, there were some very elevated mind and souls around at our founding. So there are people who keep coming back and who are here to help the planet, really. And that may be your dharma, your goal. But if you're marked, if you're touched to go back to God, you have this yearning, this longing. See, I believe everyone has a soul, and the soul just really sure. wants one thing, and that's to return to God. But the soul is completely dominated by the mind, so that longing kind of gets reinterpreted and misinterpreted into wanting things of the world. So most people are chasing after sex and fame and money, and nothing, once they get what they're looking for, it doesn't fully satisfy them, and they keep on with their search.
Speaking of moving on, let's go to Doug now in New Jersey to get things started. Hey, Doug, let's go ahead.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Hey, Doug.
Good evening, Doug.
I was wondering, because a lot of my friends who listen to the show, we talk about the various topics and whatnot, and there has been quite a few people like yourself on who speak about past lives and whatnot. When it comes to reincarnation, how can you remember all of these lives? I'm scraping the surface, just trying to find one, you know, past life. Does that mean maybe that this is my first time around? Or because there are a few things that I picked up very naturally, like I've been doing it all my life, but I don't know how that happened. But like playing the harmonica, for instance,
which you could have played in a past life. No, actually, sure. I'm really glad you're here and you've asked that question, because it's an important one. In an earlier segment, I talked about the negative power call, and he's like the administrator of the three realms, causal, astral, and the physical. And one of his boons is that we're not meant to remember our past lives. I'm actually an anomaly. Most people don't have any recall of their past lives. That's natural. But for some reason, this was what I think of as a service I was meant to perform to shed some light, and I'm on my way out, so it really doesn't matter if I remember my past lives. But undoubtedly, you've probably had millions. I can't venture to guess how many human lives. But most people, I mean, one of the rules of existence that you don't remember your past lives, but you may have what I call these sanskaras, these impressions, and you can kind of put them together. For instance, have you ever had overpowering feelings of deja vu, where you went somewhere new but it felt utterly familiar? Well, that could be a window into a past life. I describe many instances of deja vu which linked up to particular past lives. So You have lived before, but you're most people are not meant to access those past lives.
Let's go to Thomas in La Jolla, California. Hey, Tom, go ahead, sir.
Hi, George. Thank you for taking my
sure
call.
Thing.
And George, I want to compliment you on the interview with David Kessler on grieving. That was
thank you.
Asked all the right questions, and it was a very important interview.
Thanks.
And Michael.
Yeah.
Very fascinating information. And a simple question is, I mean, you talk about teachers and saints. This is a friendly question, Michael.
Mm-hmm.
This is the year 2019, mm-hmm. is there a teacher with a capital T, a saint, that we can visit now to receive the Shabbat initiation and begin meditating?
Yes, there is. My belief is that there's always a teacher with a capital T alive who is here to collect his souls. So as far as I know, there's at least one teacher. And like the highest mission you can have is searching for that teacher.
Is Shabbat Jewish?
It sounds Jewish, actually.
It does.
No, it's actually Sanskrit, which is a language which kind of comes from a higher place.
When you Google it, S-H-A-B-D, all kinds of things come up, movies, everything.
Oh, really?
It's weird.
I haven't Googled it ever.
Yeah.
But as I said, this has had all kinds of names through time. It's called the Word in the Bible, Holy Ghost, Logos, the Tao, or Nam. And it really has no name, but it's the divine emanation from God.
Do you think every human being, when they die, reincarnates?
Well, eventually, yes. They may get sent to a heaven where they can be there for a seeming eternity. But there are those who are initiated by these teachers who this may be their last birth. I strongly feel that this is my last birth, my last incarnation.
Well, after 800 of them, you think this is it?
Well, after, you mean 4,137? Yeah, I do. It's really startling. It's kind of exciting that, you know, this is the last one.
So we really can say bye-bye to you this time, right?
Yeah, unless you want to join me.
No. I'm in no rush.
Oh, okay.
No rush, Michael. We'll get there eventually, but no rush.
No, you're doing a great service just where you are.
Robert in Tucson, Arizona. Hey, Rob, go ahead.
Hi. I wanted to ask you more about your experiences with the architect Frank Lloyd Wright, since you mentioned him, what you thought of him, and also your experiences with the architects, the Green Brothers. I do have one more question, but I'm going to wait until you're done, and then I'll ask you that because it's an additional thing about the Green Brothers. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, interesting you picked up on that. I really had no, I mean, I always had the highest regard for his architecture, and I grew up in Marin where we had the Civic Center, which was designed by him. And as I mentioned, when I was, after we landed in California, after I turned 11, I sent in my portfolio to his office in San Francisco. And Aaron Green gave me this interview and couldn't have been kinder and offered me a job once I graduated from high school. But that was just sort of the fulfillment of this desire to do residential architecture, which I didn't get to do three lives ago when I did commercial architecture in Baltimore. I had a family of four children and a wife to support, and I just was able to get commercial commissions. But I've looked at his architecture, you know, as an adult, more in books than online, and I just, you know, have the highest regard for it.
We've got Jan in Brooklyn. Take it away, Jan. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hi, Jan.
Hi, Jan.
Howdy. I'm always interested in health. So I heard on Atlantis they used to go into a place where they'd get frequencies beamed at them to heal them. Did you ever do that? And also, did they grow teeth? And how did they grow teeth? And how old did you live to on Atlantis?
Jan, I'm not sure I understood the entire question. It was about Atlantis, and did you ask about healing?
And did they grow teeth?
That I would have to access. I'm not recalling anything at the moment, but in terms of one of the marvels of technology I experienced is what I would call chambers for the restoration of health. And these chambers could heal all systems of the body and cure cancer, infections, musculoskeletal issues. These chambers were like tombs you would lay in, and they were about 6 feet by 3 feet with entry from the top. That was like a door. Now, this was a secret technology, Jan, that was jealously guarded by priests. But when I worked as what I call now as an empathizer, you know, talking to people, hearing their stories, I developed a lot of digestive pains and difficulties. So I received permission from a priest to go into one of these chambers, and they were all free, but you needed permission. And after three sessions, I was basically healed. So Atlantis had all kinds of advanced things that we haven't really touched on yet.
Okay, next up, we go to Greg in Louisiana. Hey, Greg, go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir, Michael. I was curious, all of the reincarnations that you have as a human, do you have to be reborn with a mother and a father in your reincarnations?
Do you mean can you be born without a mother and father? Is that the question?
Do you have to be reborn as a child?
As far as I know, every time I was born, I had a mother and father. Now, you know, there were lives when I didn't have a father, I mean, growing up, but definitely a man impregnated the woman. This life I recovered when I ended up in hell in Atlantis. My mother had an affair. But yes, as far as I know, I always had a mother and a father. I didn't come into existence another way.
That's very interesting. Yeah, that's really interesting to me. I was really curious about that, if you had to be reborn as a child. That's very interesting. Thank you, Michael.
Oh, thank you, Greg.
All right, appreciate that. Next up, let's go to Paul in South Bend, Indiana. Hi, Paul, take it away.
Good evening. And Michael, I was wondering if the Chebet sound current is any way similar to Ekinkar's Hue sound current. That's number one. And briefly, second of all, I'd like to know, if this is your last incarnation or one of your last incarnations, did you ever in your previous incarnations or current one, did you ever run into or seek your twin flame to experience that intense love?
Okay. Well, the little I know about Ekinkar, it may be similar. It may be the same thing. But I can't, comment on any teachers in Ekinkar. I'm not really familiar with them. And in terms of twin flame, that's something I don't believe I've encountered. Are you talking about the soul having two halves seeking each other?
Yeah, I think that's what he means.
Oh, yeah. I don't really subscribe to that. I think we're just individual souls. Now, there are people we've had many lives with. Like last time I was with George, we talked about my cohort of seven, which were the seven mind-soul entities I was mainly with between lives, and I also had the most incarnations with on Earth. And when I met them this life, it was very unusual. We were all here at the same time. I had what I call uncanny meetings. It was like I'd meet them, and it was like fireworks went off in my head, and that's because we had so many such strong associations in the past.
Michael, if you had your druthers to reincarnate in any time period or any place, what would that be?
Well, it's funny because it goes back to the Edwardian era in England. Maybe I'm spoiled. I like a little bit of modern plumbing.
and electricity, right?
And electricity.
If you're not in California, at least.
But a place, a time without war. I mean, I had a pretty horrific childhood in many respects this lifetime, but I had kind of an idyllic one my last life when I grew up in Edwardian England. So I kind of would want to go back to that time and miss World War I again.
All right, we're going to come back in our time in just a moment here on Coast to Coast and take final phone calls with Michael Garditz right here on Coast to Coast AM. On our next Coast to Coast program, Brian Brown joins us for the first couple hours with his work, Someone Is Out to Get Us. Fascinating story. And then Cora Negrillo joins us to talk about the Angel Experiment. All that on our next Coast to Coast program. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, our final segment with Michael Garditz. Michael, with everything that you have looked at in terms of reincarnation, are we as a species getting better and better, or are we still way back there in the Dark Ages?
Well, actually, we're in what is called the Iron Age, the Kali Yuga, when times are particularly tough.
Yeah.
And this is when you have the greatest opportunity for spiritual progress, and when you can go back. But it's all individual. I mean, some people are getting much worse. Some people are getting much better. I think a lot of people would agree that the positive aspects of life on this planet have increased. There are quite a few people who have really gained in consciousness.
Sure.
And then you also have large numbers of people who are doing just really awful things. But we are in the Dark Ages, basically, with very short lifespans.
Don't you think more and more human beings are aware of reincarnation and their surroundings?
Yes and no. But on my first planet, most of the lives I recovered, it was just commonly accepted knowledge that you reincarnate. Here in the West, it's people scoff at you. They think you're crazy if you mention it. So compared to my first two planets, we're really in the dark times.
Back to the phones now. Let's go to Joe in Boston, Mass. Hey, Joseph, go ahead.
Good morning, George. I missed the first part. I meant to ask this guest. I'm visually impaired, and I hope his book's on audio. Is there any way you talked about the chambers. Was this in another life or was this in this life? And is there any place a person could go, whether it's Egypt or some type of organization could make arrangements? Because I have some medical issues and I would like to get healed. What can one do who's in my position?
Well, unfortunately, the chambers I talked about were in a prior life in Atlantis, and that technology, as far as I know.
Right. He should go to Lourdes in France. That's what he should do and jump in that water.
Yeah, that's a good thought, yes.
There's a lot of power there. But back to Atlantis in a moment. Did you find out how they made the pyramids?
Well, I wasn't around then, actually. No, I didn't have any lives in ancient Egypt. You know, I from what I understand, I think the blocks were done with levitation. And, you know, there may have been...
Sound resonance, maybe?
Yes, yeah.
Something like that.
I wasn't around at that time.
Well, you might be right. Thanks, Joe. I appreciate you being part of the program. But definitely, I would make a trip to Lourdes in France and jump in that special water. Let's go to California, Laytonville. Kat's with us. Kat, welcome to the show.
Yeah, hello.
Hey, Kat.
My goodness. I've been listening since Art Bell and his crazy cats in Frump, Nevada. I'm 65.
Long time.
So much fun.
Thank you, Kat.
I've been going to call, but no, I had to call tonight. I'm 65 years old, and, you know, I never even took a class or read a book or anything, but I got contacted by my spirit guides, Sam and Shayana. There's one on either side of me. They say they told me things that I wasn't even, I guess I was asking in consciousness and stuff like that, but you just wonder, like you were saying, it's individual. But my spirit guide, Sam, he told me that he's in the second dimension, and Earthlings are in the third, and my other spirit guide, Shayana, she's in the fourth dimension. So you were born with one on either side of you from this dimension, kind of thing, is what they told me. And I felt like it was my higher self, but yet these were my spirit guides. I met them one at a time. First, Sam, he's in the second, he's an astral plane, and Shayana, she's from Venus. She's a fourth dimensional being. And I didn't even try, you guys. I didn't go to a chamber. I didn't read a book. I wasn't even... seeking, but I was off the grid. That now Sam told me you cannot. The guides are having a hard time tuning into their peoples because they can't. It's like an AM radio. That's what he said. It was just trying to tune in AM radio. Okay, and he told me things that made so much more sense than the guy in the pulpit on Sundays. I mean, he just was so amazing. You know, he was in a place because he was born into he was innocent in a way because he was born into a family that was very incest, but he was born into it and it was normal. And he was my guide because my father did that to me. He was in being, you know, whatever you call it, was molested by my father. And he helped me through it. And I always knew it was wrong. And he made so much sense. That made so much sense to me when he told me these things. And then my spirit guide, Shayana from Venus, told me we were sisters before in Libya. And I was just really, really mean to her. I had all this jealousy and all these things, and I was not a good person. And she went on to the fourth dimension. I'm doing this one again. And, you know, I don't have a jealous bone in my body. I'm just always happy for others. It just makes sense that you do progress.
Yep, you should progress.
But I wonder why some people this happens to. I mean, I did not even be afraid. I just sat down and folded my hands and listened. Automatic pilot. I knew what to do. It was weird.
What do you think of that, Michael?
Well, I'm sorry for what you suffered, but to unpack, any type of incest or abuse, you it's very involved. I mean, I had, similar experiences in my life. So we don't know really what we're paying off. People go through the worst things, and they may have earned it, or it's just you really have to look at the karma, on an advanced level.
What are some of the most horrendous cases you've come across, Michael?
Horrendous in what sense?
The individual who must have been a bad person or something like that.
Well, I mean, I just I don't know about the histories of other people, but like when I was this ruler, I mean, I started this unnecessary war, and over 260,000 people died for no reason at all. So that was extremely cruel. So, I mean, I've been to hell 12 times, for all different reasons. The one time on Earth, it was because of really useless greed. I was accumulating this wealth that I didn't even need, and people were suffering from hunger in my settlement. So I'm sure most people have a history of doing bad things, and that's why they lose their birth as humans.
First-time caller Jack in Nashville, Tennessee. Welcome to the program, Jack.
Hello, George. Michael, hey, I got a simple human brain that just can only deal with absolutes, you know, like north is up, and south is down, one and one is two,
yeah.
Two and two is four.
I get you.
And so what I'm having trouble believing is I don't have the faith to believe that hardly the documentation of our Lord Jesus Christ. So how can you make me believe that what can you say to make me believe that all of this is true when the Lord Jesus Christ is having trouble making me understand how he was born?
Well, how do you convince a skeptic there?
Well, I'm not here to convince anyone. The person has to develop their own sense of knowing and intuition. That's a very important point I make, particularly in my new book. So you really need to devote yourself to developing your own sense of knowing. If you can relate to my lives and my experiences, that's fine. But, you know, I just think it's great that you sound like a seeker and you're searching.
Skeptical, but a seeker.
Yeah, and if that, to me, that is like the highest vocation, George, to be a seeker after truth. And like my last life, I just read book after book after book, and it got me where I was today. I was often very dissatisfied. This is confusing. I mean, we're like at the ultimate world fair, and we've lost the hand of our Father, and we're lost. So, I mean, the fact that somebody is looking and searching, I mean, hats off to them. I think that's the best thing.
Well, let's go west of the Rockies. Debbie's with us in Lancaster, California. Hi, Deb. Go ahead.
Hi, George.
Hey.
So I have an experience of a past life.
Mm-hmm.
When I was 9 years old, I began getting migraine headaches, and they continued all the way up to 1979. I was laying in bed, and a migraine headache started coming on, and I thought, oh, let me get to sleep before this bullet really blows out. But then I started feeling like I should be crying, and I started hearing like myself sobbing, but I wasn't. And I was looking at my knees, and in the vision, I was looking at my knees, and I felt somebody take me by the shoulders and force me to look at this gravestone. And I got the name on the gravestone, and the date that it was born, the child was born and died, was almost 5 years old.
Oh,
and as he forced me to look at the gravestone, he says, "Face it, Catherine." And I went, "Whoa, my name's Debbie." And I never had another migraine headache since.
That was it? Wow.
Wow.
Yeah. That's, and not only that, just a few years ago, I decided to look up on Ancestry.com. Actually, it was FindMyPast.com. And there was the name of the little boy. He was born in 1861, but we couldn't find him any date later.
Mm.
So on the gravestone, he was born in 1861, died in 1865.
You think that was you in a past life?
Well, it felt like it. Until he said, "Face it, Catherine," I didn't know it wasn't me.
Interesting take on that.
Very interesting. Thank you, Debbie.
You could write another book off of this stuff, Michael.
Yes.
In Search of Lost Lives, Desire, Sanskaris, and the Evolution of a Mind and Soul. How much does the mind evolve?
Well, it depends on the individual, but the mind, you can attain all kinds of what people would call miraculous powers. The mind can evolve to have great power, but that's sort of, you know, when I look at that, to me, that's like a booby prize. You're not gaining total bliss and happiness in a permanent state. What you want is to clean the mind and soul of all the karmas that's accumulated. I mean, the light of the soul, as it goes to the higher regions, it can be compared to 15 suns and 30 suns. It keeps getting stronger and stronger. Right now, our true light is totally encased by all the crud we've picked up. And that's what meditation can do. It's to clean you of all the crud we've picked up.
Let's go to Daniel in Atlanta, Georgia. Daniel, hello, sir. Good morning.
Hey there, George. How you doing, bud?
Okay, thank you.
First time, long time. I love segments like these where they're a little more thought-provoking, you know.
They sure are.
They lift the blinders a little bit. For you, Michael, I had a quick question there, bud. Kind of a two-part there.
Mm-hmm.
Firstly is, what was your first experience of death in this life, and how did it affect your journey to enlightenment? And secondly, when reaching your Akashic records, what does your counsel look like?
Okay. Well, my first experience of death, I relate to the time when I was 10 and 11, and I knew that I was going to die, and I faced it, and I just would break out in a cold sweat. And it's then that I devoted myself to learning the secret of life and death. And that's the carryover from my last life when I left with that unfulfilled desire. So, but you can actually die while living. That harks back to the meditation I was talking about, Daniel, when you can literally withdraw your soul current from your body and enter the third eye, the seat of the soul, and travel within. And in terms of the Akashic records, I actually, you know, haven't accessed those for myself. I'm able to know what I need to know just from the channel within to my higher consciousness. The soul knows everything. Everything's really available to the soul when you break through to that higher consciousness.
Michael, if you were talking to someone who was a non-believer,
mm-hmm.
a skeptic, how would you convince them otherwise?
Well, I wouldn't try to convince them. I would encourage them to listen to their inner voice and search and explore what they want to. One of the things I hope I've done in my book is I point out all these sanskaras, these impressions from past lives, and then in great detail, precise detail, I show how they relate to incidents, experiences in past lives. It's all very specific.
Indeed, it is. Barry in Rock Hills, we don't have a lot of time for you, Barry, but go for it.
Hey, just a second, George. Asking Tommy, same question. When I'm reincarnated, will I be reincarnated as a human being or a possible cat of the goose or a dragonfly?
What determines that, Michael?
Well, it really, to a large part, is determined by your actions in your current life. I mean, I outlined lives when I was a little bit nasty or mean, and I lost my human life, and I'd come back as a rabbit or a dog. I never fell below animal. But you have this huge reserve of debts or karmas, and your next life is formed from that.
Indeed. Michael, I want to thank you for being on the program. Would you give out your website, please?
Sure. It's goddard.com with a T, G-O-D for God, and then dart. D-A-R-T. Think of a dart.
All one word.
All one word. Seven letters.
The latest book, In Search of Lost Lives. Michael, thank you. Keep in touch with us, all right?
Thank you so much, George. I loved it.
Always a pleasure having you on the program. Lots of great programs for you for the rest of the week here on Coast to Coast. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasur, Greg Bishop, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, Tim Banal, George Knapp, and Ian Putnam. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.